and welcome to Now Playing. My name is Marjorie.
My name is Arnie.
And we watched My Name is Bruce.
I gotta say, I was really excited about this movie. I want to perhaps put a disclaimer here. I'm a Bruce Campbell fan.
I am too. I kind of was converted to him. He came to our town a few times. We met him. He's very nice. He's a damn entertaining speaker. And he's at a lot of sci-fi, horror, and comic conventions.
I actually became a fan of him through his writing. Without knowing who he was, I picked up his book, Confessions of a B-Movie Actor, and ended up really finding it amusing. And it turned out I was a fan of some of his movies without really knowing who he was. I liked Army of Darkness and Evil Dead 2 well enough. Since then, I've seen some of his other movies, and really, most of them are stinkers, such as Running Time, or The Man with the Screaming Brain, or anything they've shown on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Terminal Invasion comes to mind. I should also mention he has been on TV shows. He was on Briscoe County Jr., and he's currently on Burn Notice. Now, he has been in serious movies before. He died in Congo in the first 5 minutes, and he was Elizabeth Hurley's husband, or soon-to-be ex, in the movie Serving Sarah.
But I think at this point, he's best known for his cameos in all three Spider-Man movies. In the first movie, he was the wrestling announcer who gave Spider-Man the name Spider-Man. In the second movie, he was the usher at the Mary Jane's play who wouldn't let Peter in late. And the third movie, he was the French maitre d' who tried to help Peter propose to Mary Jane.
I really just blocked Spider-Man 3 from my memories.
But this movie has been much delayed. It was supposed to come out in 2007, got a very minor theatrical release in 2008. The first chance most people have had to see this is on its very recent DVD release. And I was hotly anticipating this, and as soon as it was available, got it on Amazon to download.
The plot of the movie is that a fan of Bruce's movie calls upon him, actually kind of kidnaps him, to save his town from the evil Guan Di, the guardian of bean curd.
He's a Chinese god, and apparently in this town, which was named Gold Lick?
Yes, Gold Lick.
It was a gold mining town. A lot of Chinese miners went there. The mines caved in, and while trapped, all of the Chinamen prayed to Guan Di, the god of bean curd, to give them sustenance during their deaths in the mine. As a result, Guan Di was captured and put in the... It's not really explained how Guan Di got there, but there's some kind of amulet keeping Guan Di in the mine, and when some young hellions are vandalizing the mine, they steal the amulet, thus releasing the god of bean curd to come and wreak havoc by beheading the town's citizens.
They're actually stupid wannabe goth kids. Suffice it to say, the main kid that's left alive kidnaps Bruce, takes him to this town where he's a savior, but he is not in on it. He thinks it's a joke from his agent, who is played by Ted Raimi, who plays many roles in this movie. He thinks that it's a birthday surprise and that he's just there to have fun. And when he sees Guan Di, he freaks out and takes off and goes back to his little trailer and drinks himself to oblivion.
But while that's the plot of the movie, I think the actual point of the movie is completely separate of the plot. This entire movie is a self-referential bad movie about how Bruce Campbell can only make bad movies.
Yeah, they actually reference fake movies that are really bad, like Cave Alien and Cave Alien 2, which we actually thought they're real because if you've seen anything on the Sci-Fi Channel, it could very likely be on the Sci-Fi Channel, given things like Terminal Invasion and their Mantis movies and things like that.
I mean, they make fun of some real movies, including Serving Sarah, and they took Mind Warp and Moontrap and created Moon Warp. So there are some references to real bad Bruce Campbell movies, and I guess when they couldn't get the rights, they referenced fake bad Bruce Campbell movies. However, while they made fun of the cheap and cheesy ones, I don't think they made fun of some of his truly worst stuff, which is, again, Man with the Screaming Brain or Running Time. But really, the plot of this movie is not original, because as I pointed out to you right after we watched it, the plot is very similar to that of Three Amigos, or to a lesser degree Galaxy Quest, where you have people who think movie stars are actually real heroes, and movie stars who think Real Danger is actually a movie.
Similar. I think it pretty much stole the Three Amigos. The only thing that was missing was El Guapo.
And the other two amigos.
I think all that was missing was El Guapo.
But making fun of Bruce Campbell as Bruce Campbell is a little bit funnier than making fun of Steve Martin and Martin Short as 30s silent Zorro types.
Yes, however, Three Amigos has with repeated watchability, I will not be watching My Name is Bruce again.
And I think let's get to what the biggest problem is. Just because you're making fun of schlocky B movies doesn't elevate this movie above being itself a schlocky B movie. Making fun of your own lack of budget doesn't make your movie better.
No, actually, I think the plot was actually lacking, and I think some of the acting was bad, which it's supposed to be, I understand, but it was flat. Not even like bad good, it was just flat. And we had a disagreement whether this was a bad bad movie or a bad good movie, and I'm going with bad bad. I didn't enjoy it. The jokes, you had to be a hardcore Bruce Campbell fan to even get, which I think there are a few, but I don't think there's a whole bunch.
Yeah, you're kind of making this movie for an audience of a few thousand. Bruce Campbell's not a popular enough person to truly be parodied by the masses. The fact is, most of his movies are exceptionally obscure, and so you're really playing to a limited audience. But nonetheless, I was that audience, and I was really looking forward to this movie. But the actors in this movie really aren't actors. Most of them have few to no other credits, and a lot of them look like Bruce Campbell picked them up at a local convention.
It looks to me, in some of the inside jokes, I think that they had worked on previous movies of his or had bit parts, and maybe they're just in the Bruce Campbell entourage, if you will. The one thing that really, I think, got to me that kind of not paid off for me when watching the whole movie is the pseudo-goth kid who kidnaps Bruce Campbell to come save his town makes a big deal about showing him this really cool chainsaw that's the BC-500, and as if you are a Bruce Campbell fan, you know Ash and Army of Darkness, Chainsaw Hand, blah blah blah, you know it. Look it up if you don't. You never see that chainsaw again. He doesn't use it in the final Guan Di fight.
I think it was a joke. He was saying how chainsaws are too heavy and he's not going to use it in the fight, and really shattering this kid's perception of Bruce Campbell the hero because he thought Bruce Campbell the hero would use a chainsaw.
But I think that it was supposed to come up later, and you said the same thing, and I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
So you're saying there's a rule of screenwriting that if you put a chainsaw on the bed in Act 2, you must utilize the chainsaw in Act 3?
I'm saying it was sloppy, fake foreshadowing. The movie was intercut with interludes of these guys singing also, and I think that kind of broke away. It's very, there's something about Mary.
Two guys, two guitars, singing about the god of bean curd Guan Di with the chorus, Guan you, Guan me, Guan Di.
And part of the problem was, is this whole bean curd thing. You see it at the beginning, there's a kid in a minivan whose mom was killed by Guan Di, and he's eating bean curd, which, first of all, I don't think kids are eating bean curd, but okay.
Yuck.
And he backs away from the bean curd like he's afraid of it, but then they don't use it again until the very end, and it's like, how did you figure that out?
Well, because the Chinaman, played by Ted Raimi again, knew to have the bean curd.
But why didn't he tell anybody else when this was a problem? He's been around the whole time.
Well, you see, that would have involved actual plotting and characters that made sense. Ted Raimi played three characters for no other reason than he's Ted Raimi, and I guess people like him, and he's wacky.
Well, they grew up together.
Well, yes, I know that.
Okay.
And he's Sam Raimi's brother.
Mm-hmm.
My other problem is, the person who I'm watching this movie for is Bruce Campbell. I want to see Bruce Campbell. Bruce Campbell directed this movie, and Bruce Campbell's not a very good director of actors, for Bruce Campbell the actor needed to be reined in a notch to make this a bit more believable.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, I didn't care for it.
But the character of Bruce in this, he wasn't true to Bruce Campbell. He was kind of over the top, mean to his fans, which Bruce is not. Bruce is very tolerant of fans, shall we say?
I think that he has a good sense of humor, and he knows the whack jobs from the normal people.
And of course he was parodying himself, but he goes too over the top in certain regards. I understand he's playing a character named Bruce Campbell, not the Bruce Campbell, but the character of Bruce Campbell who starred in the Bruce Campbell movies, and parodying the fact that he has to go to Romania to make movies on a low budget with people who don't speak English and all of that. It just, 99% of the jokes fell flat, and the other 1% never got off the ground to begin with.
No, that's absolutely correct. And I think the only people who are enjoying this movie perhaps live in Bruce Campbell's household. Okay, maybe Ted Raimi's household, too.
I mean, a lot of the jokes just seemed, maybe they were funny when this movie was written in 2006, 2007, but you have two old gay guys in this town of Gold Lick. One is played by Jake from Evil Dead 2, the other's played by the Metalsmith from Army of Darkness, and one looks at the other and goes, why can't I quit you? Well, that joke's a little played out at this point. point. At this point, it's not so far out as coming back in. It's just so far out, nobody wants to see it again.
Yeah, especially since Heath Ledger's dead. That's kind of, you know, I think in poor taste now.
Of course, he wasn't dead when they filmed this.
No.
It had some jokes. There were some times when we were laughing out loud because they were making fun of his made-for-sci-fi movies, and they'd have people on the set and just a complete mockery of that. And I think it would have been a much better movie had it just been a screwball comedy on the set instead of being the Three Amigos movie that it was and having Quan Di, the god of bean curd. If you find the fact that the villain is the god of bean curd amusing, then perhaps these jokes are more on your level. I don't find the god of bean curd funny. I find it head-scratching.
Well, and there's two ways you can go with it. The movie The Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, genius movie. It's fantastic. I know you've never seen it. It's a brilliant, brilliant movie. And you look at the title and you go, okay, that's going to go to one of two ways. It's either going to really suck or it's going to be just this mind-blowingly awesome movie. And it was a great movie. It's mind-blowingly awesome. I mean, the fact that the song Puberty Love makes the tomatoes not attack. I mean, that's hilarious. But then you got this god of bean curd who's killing the townspeople rather slowly, I may add. I mean, not that he's killing them off slowly. I mean that he attacks slowly. So there's plenty of time to get away if you had some wits about you. But about the god of bean curd has a lot of potential, and I think they just kind of pissed it away and didn't really capitalize on that when really it could have been a bigger plot device and been more included in the movie.
In the end, the movie never rises above the source material it's attempting to parody. And in mocking his own bad movies, Bruce Campbell has made yet another bad movie.
Although, isn't there a documentary about Cave Alien out now?
Well, it was a promo for this, so an interview about Cave Alien 2. However, this movie was made on a very low budget by Dark Horse Comics, and rumor has it we will be treated to a sequel. My name is still Bruce. I can only hope that they just get a higher caliber of writer, a higher caliber of actor, and a director who isn't Bruce Campbell. Maybe Bruce Campbell can direct, but Bruce Campbell can't direct Bruce Campbell.
No, I imagine there's some sort of internal struggle with that.
He just goes over the top. A couple of times, you and I were looking at each other and going, that scene should have been funny, but he took it too far. If he'd reined it in a notch, it would have been more funny.
Yes, but if you're directing yourself, that means you have a very large ego.
Not necessarily. It could mean nobody else will work as cheap as you.
That's also true.
I mean, if the movie's a labor of love, then you could star and direct. It's not always ego. And having met Bruce many times, almost stalked him throughout central Illinois. The man does not come off as an egotistical one. He seems fairly down to earth when he received the key to Decatur, Illinois, the smelliest town in all of Illinois.
Still a Bruce Campbell fan?
I'm a fan of Bruce. I'm not a fan of My Name is Bruce.
I ditto that.
Thank you for listening to Now Playing, and be sure to come back this Friday, February 27th, to listen to our retrospective series on Star Trek, where Stuart Brock and I will be going through all 10 of the Star Trek movies in anticipation of J.J. Abrams' new Star Trek movie. You can find it all at nowplayingpodcast.com.
Guan Yu, Guan Mi, Guan Di.
That's Bean Curd, or have a good night.
Now Playing is a Venganza Media production and is copyright, all rights reserved.